So who are the Baltimore Ravens? I feel like doing an Eminem song. Will the real Baltimore Ravens please stand up? Please stand up. You don't know who this team is. I would suggest to you guys that I don't think they know who they are. Because if you think, I'll say it again, that an NFL team is going to go through the season running three out of every four plays, then you are insane. Absolutely insane. We did that in high school sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes we didn't. That's not who they are. If you think Derrick Henry is going to have 25 carries a game, you are insane. That's not going to happen. I think they are a team that successfully executed a game plan on Sunday. However, Ed, coming out of that game, did that tell you anything about what their identity is going to be?
If it's going to be anything like we saw, they're going to be what they've been. It's a run-heavy team. I don't think it's going to get 25 carries a game. As we've mentioned before, you've talked about it. He led the league in carries, but he averaged 16 carries a game last year, which is about right. And this one was exceptional because it was working. Because apparently there's things that people see in the right side of the cow or the right side of the offense that the Cowboys are very vulnerable against on the outside.
Well, I guess when you're looking at this team specifically, like I understand that running should be their identity and what they do. But again, for people that are wanting Derrick Henry, the only reason I think you saw more of Derrick Henry in this Dallas game is that they were in what they believed to be a must-win situation, and things were rolling, and then you saw how things went in the fourth quarter. Ultimately, I think you're hoping that you can mix up those other runs between Lamar and some of the other backs, whether that's Justice Hill or Keaton Mitchell when he comes back. But it's really hard to put your finger on it because this is a team right now that have the best offense in football, whether you believe it or not. The over's 3-0 in Ravens games, so there are a lot of points scored. But their secondary grades out as one of the worst. Like, that's not something we're accustomed to seeing with this team. Like, yeah, we've had complaints about
dead last.
Yeah. So we've had complaints about the secondary before. Like, oh, this guy's injured. This guy's not playing well. And it goes hand in hand with the pass rush. You know, like.
I think the secondary is probably the most talented part of the defense.
It's crazy.
It's hard to believe this is going on, actually.
So are they not getting the pass rush they need? Or are they just not playing well together? The other thing, too, like they were talking about it on Monday Night Football, the secondary, it was the game that Lewis Riddick was doing. So I think it was I can't remember if it was the first or second one. But he's like, one of the biggest things is everybody communicates along the defensive line. And you communicate on the offensive line where the blocking schemes are and everything, right? But the secondary has to communicate, too, with when a guy goes in motion, who has him if we're in man-to-man? Who's picking this guy up? And that's how things get lost when you're not communicating back there. And I'm not saying that's the case for the Ravens. But for a team that talented in the secondary to have the worst secondary in football, it leaves you scratching your head.
It's just going back to the offensive identity, though. I look at it, and to me, it looks like, and I've said this for a couple of years now, guys, the identity is, all right, Lamar, go make a play. That's the identity. I don't think they do a lot to design for Lamar. I think Lamar does a lot to bail them out more so than anything else.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense to me, especially what we've seen. Even though that's why I go back to when we have the arguments about the criticism that some of the guys in the league get. He gets way more than it. Like, even with the shovel today, and Dan Helly saying that, Lamar Jackson's a poor man's Jaden Daniels after his first game throwing a touchdown pass on Monday Night Football, and people say stupid things. But that's how it is. It's a cesspool on social media, but you got to figure out, like, what is going on with this team? Why can't they close out games? Who do you blame for it? But comparatively speaking, I don't know why Lamar gets as much criticism and hate. Maybe I do. But it comes down to something where you're going, guy's so freaking good. Like, what is the deal with this? Why people just want to poke holes in everything he does?
You know, my pastor told me 2 weeks ago.
What's that?
Nobody hates down. They only hate up. They don't hate you if they think you're beneath them or not successful or not capable. They only hate you because of your success.
Is that why you think you don't hate on anyone? Because everyone's beneath you?
I never thought about it that way. But maybe. See, that's the problem. So you come at me and you expect me to back up and to be upset about what you're saying.
You know me too.
Not knowing, I'll leave you. Yeah. I'll rope a dope you. Come on. I'll rope a dopey. Come on.
You know what I want to say to you right now, and I can't say it on the air.
I know. Go ahead. What I'm not.
Yeah, you ain't.
I know.
You know it. You know, you.
People do that, and if they deliver a knockout blow to me, not knowing I'm just rolling with the punches, ooh, I'll roll with them.
You're right about the other thing, about people, like, you know, they like it when you're down.
Yeah.
One of my best friends, who I thought was the best friend, I would never see him during my successful times, which there are plenty of them. I mean, NYPD, here, divorce.
Here he comes.
Legal problems, always there.
He loves Eddie.
Shows up for that, like, all right.
I think that there are certain people that, I guess, get some sort of satisfaction in other people's...
Schadenfreude.
Yeah. Failures. Yep, I don't even like using the word failures, but, you know, they're down moments in life.
There are failures in life. If
they pray and pray on my downfall. Todd Koppelman joins us at 9:30, but on the other side, Jeremy Kahn in the Daily Line.
No, my sheet says I was doing it this last segment.
Yeah, she was wrong.
Okay. Go ahead. All right, last night I went 2-2-1 in my top plays.
Back the curtain, why don't you?
I went 2-2-1 in my top plays, kind of kissed my sister last night. We had some opportunities late.
I didn't see you there.
No, you weren't there either. The A's last night, their bullpen giving up a couple runs, the same thing with the Rangers. I think it's a really interesting time to bet. I'll explain why with baseball, because there's a lot of teams that aren't playing for something.
I need to look up.
And we will... I'll be back with the Daily Line.
The Big Bad Daily Line. 105.7 The Fan.
Rojas on the ground to third. Machado touches third. Fires to second. Out there. Out at first. Oh, my goodness. It's a triple play. It ends the ball game. The San Diego Padres have clinched their spot in the postseason after a magical 2024 campaign. Will this finally be the year for the faithful?
Not since Comcast triple play have we seen one this good.
You remember, wow. Remember he did that here in Baltimore?
Yeah.
He scope to Davis.
Yeah, that's courtesy of MLB.TV. Now, I didn't have this game. I didn't play this game, but it's such a cool highlight. I feel like everybody should hear it. One of the best things about it, you know who was waiting on deck in a two-run game? Shohei Ohtani.
Ooh.
You turn a triple play while this cat's waiting on deck. Like, even if you get one out there, you don't think there's a chance that Ohtani's going to get one of those runs in, or maybe all of them,
yeah. With
the way he's been playing this year. Thought it was pretty cool.
He plays every year. It's ridiculous.
I mean, it's so surprising every year when you start looking at the things that this guy can do. My son came
to me. He is the best baseball player of my lifetime.
100%. Absolutely.
I don't disagree, but I still want to see more. Just because, like, I still think what I saw from Barry Bonds was just...
Could he pitch?
Outrageous. No, I mean,
that's
what
it comes down to for me.
I haven't seen him pitch this year.
Barry Bonds.
Yeah, I didn't see him pitch either this year.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, neither did Shohei.
We got hurt.
And he's going to win an MVP. He didn't even pitch.
Well, he's got 50-something stolen bases, 51 home runs. 51 and 51, I think he's at now.
I mean, the whole thing's crazy to me. As you start looking at yesterday's slate and what I had the Guardians, they won. I had the Pirates and Brewers over. That hit. I pushed, depending on when you got the line, you won, pushed, or lost. I don't know when you got it. 159 is what I had it. When I gave it out in the morning, it was like 161. Mm-hmm. By the time I got home and wrote everything up, it was 159. So I pushed in that one. And then I ended up losing the Giants D-backs as both teams went off. And I lost the under in the A's and Rangers. We lost that in the eighth and ninth inning, but it happened. So I move on to today. What are we going to look at? We have two WNBA games. I would venture to say that they're better plays than some of these baseball plays. And why do I say that? Like, for a guy like me that's doing a segment talking about gambling, mm-hmm, and saying this week is a tough week to gamble because you don't know what the motives are of these managers, what they want to see. Do they leave a younger pitcher out there a little bit longer to see what he has? Are you calling up someone from the minors? Do they not have it? You know, like, what do the lineups look like? Milwaukee's already clinched. If I'm going to give out a Brewers game, I don't know what their lineup looks like. They might have two or three stars sitting. Just things like this happen. And again, the pitching matchups, let me just throw this before I go over everything. Like, the pitching matchups today are, some of them are really difficult. Like, we have really good ones, like Yusei Kikuchi.
Kikuchi.
Thank you. Going up against George Kirby.
Kirby.
Yusei Kirby. And then you have games like the White Sox and the Angels where they're saying, hey, guys, do you want to bet on a game between Jose Suarez and Davis Martin? Who are these people? Like, it's like, there's some of these pitchers. Richard Fitz is pitching for Boston. Come on. That's right. His name's Dick Fitz. Huh. Maybe I will bet on him today. Let me put Boston down. Apparently it does.
What he doesn't realize is no one else heard that but him in his headphones.
I don't care. To himself. Richard Fitz! Wait a minute. I like him.
Dick Fitz. All right, Chris Sale's on the slate today. Again, for teams, you gotta pay attention to teams that have things locked up. Because, again, when we talked about what do we see from Corbin Burns tomorrow since the Orioles have locked it up, if they lose tonight, you know you're not catching the Yankees or you're not trying to force that issue, so you're going to set up your rotation. How much does Corbin Burns pitch tomorrow if, in fact, they're going to start on October 1st? So a lot of things to look at. Here's the weather today. Supports the Tigers over. Yankees under being the best spot. It looks like it's going to help nullify some home runs. Both these teams have tremendous power, so does it mean there's not going to be any home runs hit? No, that's not what I'm saying, but the home run numbers should be down. That's why it's supporting a Yankees under. In the Twins over, it's an interesting matchup between Miami and Minnesota. I do like the over there. Edward Cabrera versus Mr. Hyphenated Woods Richardson. Simeon Woods Richardson is an absolute box of chocolates. Sometimes he comes out and mows them down. Sometimes he comes out and gives them all up, so do what you will with that if you want to bet it or not. I do like the Orioles under. I like the Mets and Braves over, and it's a little bit nerve-wracking because it's Chris Sale versus, a guy for the Mets that has pitched fairly well this year in David Peterson, a left-hander. But I like the way the Braves have been swinging the bats of late. Michael Harris Jr. with a bomb last night. Matt Olson's just been on an absolute tear. I'm going to take the over here and think that they can get to the Mets and that the Mets can actually scratch out a few runs on Chris Sale. I'm going to tell you the Tigers' win streak stops here. I'm taking Tampa Bay. Zach Little's pitching. And you look at the spot here, you always have to be careful with betting these Tigers games because they always list a starter and you don't know how it's going to go. Like Keeter Montero was listed as a starter 2 days ago and he didn't start. Now he's listed as a starter and he does. There's been some shuffling of the deck chairs on the Titanic with some of these teams. Like the Reds moving around who they're going to start. Jacob Junis was supposed to start yesterday. They said, nah, we'll move him tomorrow. These things come out late as can be sometimes. But the other games I'm interested in, Padres-Dodgers under. I think it's a phenomenal pitching matchup, and I can't believe I'm saying this. Jack Flaherty against Dylan Cease. So I'm going to take the under of 7.5. My favorite play today is going to be the Brewers and Pittsburgh Pirates to go under the 7.5 there, as we have Freddie Peralta grading out as one of the top pitchers on today's slate. And Freddie Peralta's going up against someone that doesn't grade out that well, but I've watched him pitch, and I think from time to time he can limit the damage. Luis Ortiz gets a few strikeouts. You just got to hope he's not giving up the long ball there. And the WNBA, my two favorite plays today. I think Connecticut knocks off the Fever again, -6.5. The girls go home together, but they're still not, one of them's still not happy. But I think that's what happens in that game. And Phoenix and Minnesota,
never happy.
I'm going to go under the 160.5 for today. So there you go. That's the plays. Again, my favorite play being Milwaukee-Pittsburgh under 7.5. I really do like that Orioles-Yankees game. I don't want to bet on the Yankees today. But, there is that thought process. How much did they party last night, and do they come out flat today? We've seen that happen before with teams. We saw that last year. Yeah.
I'm going to say not as hard as last year for two reasons.
Because Adley was in the dugout like,
That was the division clincher, mm-hmm. And it's the first time in a long time.
Fair enough. You hope that they're not just annihilated. I still want to know what the hell Gunnar and Ryan O'Hearn were doing with their stomachs and their chest when they were just like, did you see it? Their forehead to forehead pushing their stomachs and chest out to one another?
No.
Pretty cool stuff. Anyway.
You would get fixated on that.
It was fun.
There you go.
All right, there you go.
Joe LaCroix's Encore 9:45, but on the other side, Ravens football. Todd Karpovich up next from BaltimoreSports.com on The Fan. Joining us right now from BaltimoreSports.com, veteran writer Todd Karpovich. Good morning to you, Todd. What's going on, man?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Doing well.
Everybody's back in the Orioles bandwagon, huh?
Yeah. Everybody's back on, man. It's just crowded. I kicked a couple of people off. Don't worry about it, though. You got room for you. Hey, Todd, you had an interesting article about the penalties for the Baltimore Ravens, and we'll get to that, but I want to ask you a question right now. What's the identity of the Ravens offense?
See, I think they started to establish it more against the Cowboys and running Derrick Henry 25 times. That's what they got to do. They got to run the football to win games. And that's what basically they're going to have to do. Now, I'm a little surprised the tight ends haven't been more involved. Andrews and Likely got one target against the Cowboys, which is really unheard of for Mark Andrews. But, yeah, I think they're starting to establish – a little bit more of an identity with running the football, and that's, I think it's going to be their MO. But again, they don't want to get one-dimensional. That's been their, they've been saying that over and over again since the Kansas City game in it last year. They have to be able to make plays downfield. But right now, their biggest plays are with running the ball.
And Todd, I'm glad you said that because that's my biggest pushback. I don't think that's the identity. They're not going to have a 3-to-1 run-to-pass ratio, and they're not going to be able to go games without targeting Mark Andrews either. So I think that was a game plan, but that's not their identity.
No, I don't know. You know, I agree with that. I think, you know, Tom Monken and John Hall both said, you know, they need to be a multi-dimensional offense, which is what they're striving for. You know, they were desperate for a win in Dallas, and they did what they had to do. I think you'll see a little more balance this week against the Bills. Although the Bills, their run defense isn't very good. They give them 118 yards a game, so the Ravens should be able to run on them, too.
Hey, Todd, the Ravens, I thought the defensive backfield was going to be the most talented unit on the team with all the names they have now. How are they last in the NFL in pass defense?
Yeah, they're ranked near the bottom, you know, as far as pass defense goes. They're not, I think Kyle Hamilton was a little bit banged up, you know, for he had a couple injuries in training camp. And, you know, the pass defense is ranked 32nd in the league. They're last, giving up 291.7 yards per game. I think the cornerbacks had played, you know, fairly well. But again, you know, the big name receivers, you know, Devontae Adams, 100 yards receiving. They did a good job on CeeDee Lamb last week. But again, they sort of gave up big plays in the fourth quarter. I think there's a communication issue. Safety Marcus Williams isn't giving them much either. You know, Kyle Hamilton had a good game against Dallas. I think he's better. And then Marlon Humphrey, I think, has been pretty good. Brandon Stevens had some struggles. You know, I think Nate Wiggins, you know, he had a tough assignment drawing CeeDee Lamb, had a couple PI penalties, but had a forced fumble. So, you know, I think the secondary on defense is the biggest concern right now.
What do you make of the matchup with the Bills? If you watch Monday night, Joe Brady was a damn surgeon out there and calling plays and putting guys in position to succeed. And Josh Allen found him. So he looked really good. I think it's a short week for them. Tough game on Sunday night, but what are your thoughts on what we see Sunday night?
Well, they're putting up with 37.3 points a game. Yeah. One NFL. So they got a high-flying offense. Josh Allen's playing well. They don't have big numbers, but he's doing a good job protecting the football and spreading it around. You know, they lost a couple free agents in the offseason. They thought they'd take a step back, but the Bills are actually playing better, so it's a chemistry issue there. Now, again, we go back to running the football. The Ravens probably going to need to, you know, control the clock and keep Josh Allen, the offense, off the field. And they'll do that by running the football. But it's a tough matchup. The Ravens are favorites, so we'll see.
Here with Todd Cobbers from BaltimoreSports.com, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Again, those penalties. We heard John Harbaugh talk about it. He didn't like it. Disputed some of them. Ravens fans are disputing some of them. And Ed and I brought this up. Let's say let's be real generous. Let's say four of those penalties shouldn't have been called. That means the Ravens still had 9 penalties on Sunday, Todd. They've got to clean that up.
Yeah, it's still an issue. You know, I think, the most penalized team in the league with 31 infractions, 278 yards. Offensive holding has been the biggest issue. And, you know, behind the scenes, coaches will say, you know, they don't have a huge problem with offensive holding that keeps your quarterback from getting killed. So, you know, they can live with that. But the pre-snap penalties with the defense and the pass interference penalties are an issue. And the penalties seem to snowball in the second half of the game, which when the Ravens try to protect the lead. But, yeah, that's definitely something that needs to be cleaned up. There have been some questionable calls, but you're right, Rob. The ones that were legitimate were still costly.
So what did you think of Derrick Henry, where we finally got to see him carry the ball like we used to see him get a 20-plus carries?
I think he's starting to understand Todd Monken's playbook. You know, it took him a little – he didn't play any preseason games. You know, he played two regular season games, and he was still adjusting to the playbook. I think he's starting to figure out what they're doing, where they're putting him, where he's supposed to be, where to run behind the left side of the line. So, yeah, he's starting to figure things out. I think he's going to go downhill from here. I think he should, you know, continue to have a good season. Now, the Ravens don't want him carrying the ball 300 times. You know, he's a 30-year-old running back, so, you know, they wouldn't need him fresh for the postseason. But he'll get his share. Justin Hill's looked good, you know, when he's been in there. And then you got Keaton Mitchell coming in. So he'll have some support, you know, in the coming weeks. But I think Derek Henry's starting to find his footing in this offense.
Any concern with Mark Andrews? We didn't, he got bracketed a bunch in week 1, week 2, a few more catches looked better. And in week 3, he wasn't out there all that much.
Yeah, he only played like 23 snaps. He said he's healthy. You know, that's the, you know, the question going around the national media right now is that ankle still bothering him? That's a pretty devastating injury last year. But he did come back and play the AFC Championship game, and he said that, you know, that the injury still bothered him in that game, but now he's fully healthy. I guess, you know, they're still getting a feel. I really like Lee. I know they have two tight ends who can make plays. You know, John Harbaugh said he's had this twice, you know, over the past 3 weeks that there's only one football, and only so many guys can get the ball, and that's just the way it's been working out. But, yeah, I think Mark Andrews is something to watch going forward. And he had that car accident, you know, in August, which we don't know how much that impacted him.
Todd, tell the folks how to find you on social media. Tell them all about BaltimoreSports.com.
At Ty Carpenter on Twitter and BaltimoreSports.com. We're following the Ravens every day. And then we got BaltimoreBaseball.com. Rich Dubroff and Peter Schmuck and his guys are covering the playoff run.
Thanks a lot, Todd. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
See you, man. All right, 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Parkville. Get Woody. What's up, Woody?
You want me to put something down while we go down?
Woody? Woody. All right, let's go to Freddie in New Carrollton. What's up, Freddie?
Hey, guys. You know, I was thinking these guys coming back. I think, you know, especially the last month or so, the defense.
You're talking Orioles, right?
Guys coming back is.
You talking Orioles?
Yeah, some of the Orioles.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
All right.
Yeah, the Orioles. Yeah. The defensive effect of having Westberg and Urias back, and you know the solidity, you know, because they lost some games where they weren't themselves defensively. That's probably 3 or 4 games that they lost, and I think having their bats back, but their gloves back, and playing in positions they're used to, I think is as big a plus as anything else.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate that, Freddie.
You're going to miss your flight. You better hurry up.
Let's get Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
What's up, man? Listen, just when they thought the Orioles was done, they pull them right back in.
Did you watch it again last night?
Yeah, man. Just, I didn't realize how great that show was, man. That movie was, man. It's just one of the greatest, man. But, yeah, man, you know, first time in my adult life that the Orioles are going back-to-back in the playoffs, man.
What year were you born?
85.
They did it in 96, 97.
He said in his adult life, though.
Oh, your adult life. You're right.
Yeah, you know.
Your young whippersnapper, like, my bad.
Back in like 97, man, the Cowboys were still, you know, finishing up their dynasty,
yeah,
man.
But Stop playing. When are you going to grow up, though? Because, again, we're still waiting for your adult life.
Yeah, don't ever grow up, Rashawn. Don't do it. It's overrated.
Yeah, I don't want to grow up, man. Yeah, man. I just want to, you know, believe in the Cowboys all my life, man.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, man. But listen, I was one of the people that was like, you know, a little skeptical of all these people coming back. I'm like, man, they're not going to be productive. They're going to be rusty, man. And everybody came back and hitting, man. You know, Ramon. Even last night, man, when they pinch hit for O'Hearn, right? I'm like, man, why the hell they bringing Mountcastle in? And boom, he got a hit.
You've been a Mountcastle hater forever, though. So yeah,
forever?
That's not different, man. You're a hater. You're more of a hater of Mountcastle than Jeremy.
Stop it. I don't hate Mountcastle.
Yeah. I hate Mountcastle like, you know, Trippy hate Humphreys, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, man, but listen, man, that play last night, did y'all talk about that play that that Kramer had?
Yeah, like, it was great. Yeah, it was number two on SportsCenter.
Oh, yeah, man, that was crazy, man. They was like, man, I hope he ain't going to get hurt. I'm like, why the hell will he get hurt, man?
You think he should have let the third baseman get it? No?
Huh?
No. I think the third baseman was out of position.
Okay.
I don't think the third baseman. Yeah, I thought he made the best play.
No, because it worked out.
Hey, Rob, one more thing, right?
No, I don't think the third baseman was in a position to do it.
I'm saying, he did make the best play. It worked out.
Hey, Rob, you still there?
No,
yes.
we're not.
Rob, one more thing, right?
Don't you hear us talking to one another? How do you ask me if I'm still here?
Oh, my bad.
Go ahead.
Hey, man, last year, right, you hooked me up with the playoff tickets, man. It was pretty decent, man. So can I get that same section this year, though? I just need 2 more tickets, though. I got 2 more people that's coming with me.
Bye, Rashawn.
What do you get? You behind the third base dugout so you could sit there and like, talk trash to the other team? Is that what he hooked you up with last time? Sounds about right.
Woody in Parkville. What's up, Woody?
Hey, man. How y'all doing? I apologize for that last call.
Yeah, man. We didn't want you to get indicted on what we heard you talking about.
Yeah.
No. No. So I got two things.
Woody,
to,
sounds like he
on.
Would. Anyway, go ahead.
No, look. I'm glad to be back in Baltimore, man, with my Orioles and my Ravens. But I got one thing to hit on, Jeremy, when y'all was talking about the homeless people taking over down there in California.
Yeah.
Like, I have properties up here, you know what I mean? And since we've been gone, One of them was just like that. They took it over. But the thing about it is we have to go through the same legal process as evicting somebody that already like lived there.
And it takes so long. Rent. Yeah.
Yeah. Because what happened is once they there and they get a piece of mail sent there, then it's like they're there. That's... just can't put them out. They got squatter rights.
You have other properties?
Yeah.
Email them to me. When you leave, I'll take them over. I won't have any more mortgage. Be all right.
No. But look, and the thing about the Oreos, come on, man. Let Brandon Hyde do his thing, bro. Look, we all, just like y'all just came back off vacation, wherever y'all at, the boys are back in town now. Let them roll.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot, man. I don't think Ed and I were on vacation.
Definitely not.
Neither one of us wanted to be out for the reasons that we were out. Mm-hmm. That's not a vacation. But I got you. I got you, though. Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan. I've never coached a game against a team, one of my former teams.
Really?
Never. Because when I went from,
if you're scared,
I went from JUCO to the NCAA, so you weren't playing there.
Right.
Then I went from back to JUCO, then to high school, so you weren't. So my only opportunity would be like
high
now.
School. Yeah.
Now would be an opportunity, mm-hmm. but. I've never done it.
Is now, with Rosedale's success, do you think you guys might pay Mount Carmel to come play at your place?
They're successful, too.
Okay. I just didn't know, man.
I didn't lead a cover bear.
No, I'm saying.
I didn't take anybody.
I've seen this happen in, like, college football where we just talked about, who was it, North Carolina paid James Madison to come play him in North Carolina and beat their ass.
Oh, that's messed up.
It what?
What you're implying is really, really messed up.
I don't think he's implying. I think he's saying
what you're implying is really, really messed up. That's it. When you painted the picture, then that's really messed up.
I love you, Rob.
They are IAAA conference team.
Yeah.
No one's paying them to come. They are the show.
Look, we talk off the air. I pick some things out that you say, and then, you know, I run with it.
And that's the encore for the day. Hey, Kai, Reisterstown. State your business, buddy. What you got?
Hi, Kai.
Real quick. Hey, Jeremy. By the way, Jeremy, the Clippers will upset the Chiefs this week, man. Put that in the paper. Two things, fellas.
The Chargers, I've never seen you mean? In my life.
The Clippers?
The Chargers.
What the hell are you talking about, Kai?
I said the Chargers.
No, you said the Clippers. You said the Clippers, but go ahead.
You said those. No.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Two things I've never seen, man. And I never seen it. A turtle with speed and John Harbaugh win a challenge for this team to get in, to get somewhere, man. Will he be on the hot seat if we, let's say we just go one and done in the playoffs? Will he be gone?
I don't know about a hot seat. Yeah. There'll be a lot to talk about, but I don't know if he'll be on the hot seat. He set the Clippers.
He did.
Now, Tom, you to find out what we learned today. It's okay, Kyle. We talk for a living and we speak a lot, just like them.
Yeah.
What'd you learn today, Ed Norris?
Well, I got my Norton subscription has just been renewed with an automatic debit, so I better get on that. I just saw it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to email the guy back.
Don't forget about your credit card information.
Yes, I'm going to right now. And his email is 703-334545. djdbmduk@gmail.com. That sounds like a Norton address, right?
Yeah, that's so the guy.
All you got to do is copy and paste.
Well, I just want everybody to have that.
Okay.
And I think you should all email this scumbag.
I can't wait until everyone else is millionaires from their Nigerian prince and you're over there starving.
I know. It's just like...
So that's not real?
Who answers these things?
I get one every day.
I know.
Every day. The reason they keep going is because there's always one. There's
always somebody. I know.
Today is National Daughters Day. So, in recognition of Brianna and Stephanie, National Daughters Day today. Also, National Quesadillas Day. You guys like quesadillas?
Yeah.
You like quesadillas? Mm-hmm. I used to love them. Not as much as I used to. Joe, you like quesadillas?
They're delish.
I used to love them. I don't dislike them. I don't love them
anymore.
It's
funny you say it. I'm the same way. I like them. I just had one, but I have them in like as an emergency go-to.
You know, you find a good quesadilla. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of all their food, but Looney's in Perry Hall has this jerk chicken quesadilla.
It's good.
It's Joe's shaking his head. You had it, Joe? It is really good. Is that good? Okay. I try that out. But their jerk chicken quesadilla, if you put the jalapenos in there with them, man.
Whoa. Now he's French. When are your many trips down to Florida?
I'm going in October.
Now, we get to check out where she's working now. It's authentic Mexican, nothing like Tex-Mex, authentic tacos, just like your place there. But, I mean, the food is just so incredibly good. And it's not what people think of when they think Mexican.
Sarasota?
Mm-hmm.
Man, see, I'm going to Tampa, really, man. Good. You're going to make me go to Sarasota? Shoot. Man, now I got to go to SCOB. Now I got to... I'm joking. There's also National Comic Book Day, and today is National Lobster Day. You guys like lobster, right?
Yeah. When I'm reading my comic books, I eat lobster.
Yeah. Well, you came in looking like one once.
Yeah, I did. Some don't like me.
Birthdays in sports. Today would have been Phil Rizzuto's birthday.
Rizzuto.
Hubie Brown birthday. He turns 91 today. I could do something on guessing birthdays. Who's older than Hubie Brown? Nobody. Cheryl Teague celebrates her 73rd birthday today as well. 77th, I'm sorry. Bob McAdoo is 73rd. Sylvester Croom, 70 years old today. Scottie Pippen is 59. Your guy, Ed. John Lynch turns 53 today.
Wow.
Yeah, he does. Rocco Baldelli turns 43, and Cade Cunningham turns 23. Matt Hasselbeck and Chauncey Billups share a birthday today. Who's older, Matt Hasselbeck or Chauncey Billups?
Matt Hasselbeck,
you think? Jeremy Kahn?
I'm going Chauncey Billups.
Going Chauncey Billups? You know how far his career goes back, don't you? Mm-hmm. And you're wrong. Matt Hasselbeck turns 49. Chauncey Billups turns 48.
I thought he was older. I thought going back to
I did too.
I was trying to remember when Hasselbeck came in, but
You know why? Did you know Matt Hasselbeck in college?
No.
You knew Chauncey Billups in college. Yeah. That's why. And I thought about that. So why does he seem so much older? Because I didn't know Matt Hasselbeck until he became an NFL quarterback.
We want the ball and we're going to win.
We heard of Chauncey Billups in college. Go ahead, man. What you got?
You're going to lose. What do you call the sexuality where you're attracted to men and women, but neither are attracted to you?
Obesity.
By yourself.
That deserves one.
Thanks, Joe. My wife yelled from upstairs last night and said, "Do you ever get a shooting pain across your body like someone's got a voodoo doll of you and they're stabbing it?" I replied, "No." And then she said, "How about now?" What's Oh, man. I can't believe someone came into my house last night and stole all my fruit. I'm peachless. Oh. Joe, shut up, Joe. You don't know. Here we go. My wife said if I didn't play golf, we'd have sex. So my options were to play around or play around. Nope, that was not working.
I thought it was something else behind that.
Here you go. Last one for you. I got rejected on my very first blind date, and I don't understand why. My date asked me if I had any pets, and I said I had a goldfish. Any hobbies? I said yes. He likes swimming. Oh, here, one more for you. Why do Mormons stop having children after 25? Because 26 is too many.
Vinny and Haiti up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Hump Day Wednesday.